Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Chapter 5. We'll look at 5 verses tonight. And when somebody dies, I always like to share a little bit in terms of eternity and the things that we have to look forward to. And with Miss Martha having gone home, as a matter of fact, she had purchased this poinsettia as a memorial to Gordon, her son, who passed away literally not 2 months. I don't know time-wise. So how long has it been? October. 3 months ago. She wanted to put this up here as a reminder, so I thought it fitting to put it in as a reminder to both of them tonight and to remember the blessing that she's been this body of Christ. We don't mourn for her. If you mourn for her, your sadness and your grief is misplaced. There is no reason tonight to mourn for her. She has lost nothing. As a matter of fact, she's more alive now than she's ever been, and her back doesn't hurt anymore. If she was able to play a piano, if there's a piano in heaven, she's able to play like she never played here. She's in a place that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what's in store for those who love him. So the glory that was revealed to her this morning and standing in front of the Savior that died for her is inexpressible. We cannot begin to comprehend what she's doing, so we don't grieve for her. We don't grieve for those like those that have no hope, because we have hope. What do we have hope? We have hope that tonight's message, the new body, that day is coming sooner than later. You think about the time in history, what, approximately 7,500 years, give or take. It doesn't matter to me. I really don't care how long it's been. But what I know is it in 7,000, let's just say, give you 8,000 if you want to be liberal with it. You want to live to be 100, that's wonderful. Tell me what 100 years is in the span of 8,000. Amen. I sit here today as I was reflecting on what God would have me share in relation to what had happened. And I'm just sitting here, and I'm thinking of just a few days ago, I walked into Longview Baptist Church at 33 years old. Just as fresh as a snow-driven, dirty pile of snow, really. I wasn't like a fresh-driven pile of snow, ministerially speaking, but my body had endured a lot at that point. It just come off of being in bed for 4 years and in a wheelchair. I didn't have a clue, but you know what I had is a church body that was struggling. They were hurting. And they were tired. Little did I know what God was going to do, and Miss Martha was on the pulpit committee. I remember sitting back there in the old building in the room when they talked to me. You know how quick it's been? The 13 years? Just like that. I can still shut my eyes. I'm just dead serious when I say this. I can shut my eyes and I can see in the old building where everybody sat. You guys change seats a lot, so it's harder for me to pray for you like I did in the other building, because everybody sat in the same place all the time. And I used to shut my eyes when I was praying every morning, and I would just start over here. First one I'd pray for was Haywood, sat over here, all the way on the right, every Sunday morning. So see, I just went through, and I went all the way through row by row, and I could see every person where they sat. But you know, as I shared with you earlier, just in the last 2 years, see, four, that's only in the last 2 years. Four are gone. They're gone to be with Jesus. They're not gone. We're temporarily set at this place we reside in, and they're gone to be with Jesus. They're at that place that Keith Green refers, actually it's on his tombstone. He said, I've gone to that mountain where trials turn to gold. I love that statement. Think about what that says. The momentary trials are going to one day give way to what? The glory of God. Momentary. But see, we're so caught up in this temporal. This thing that is fleeting. It's a mirage. Go look at these verses 1 through 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to pray tonight that God just helps you, if anything else, get a semi-small glimpse of what's ahead, to be encouraged by it, to recognize that these toils, the pain, and the trials, the tribulations will one day end in the glorious sunrise of eternity. And by the way, that sun, as I referred to, I think it was on Sunday night, is not going to be a sun like we know it. The light in heaven is going to emanate from God's throne, from Him Himself. Can you imagine the pure glory of God that will be the light? No more night. No more cancer. No more suicide. No more antidepressants. No more shrinks. No more psychiatrists. There's going to be no more juvenile detention. There's going to be no more Supermax. There's no more sheriff's department, police department, FBI, TBI. There'll be no more NCIS. There'll be no more Marines, Navy, Army, Air Force. See, the old order of things is going to pass away. Brothers and sisters, that's where we're headed. And I want you to know tonight, it is going to be in the blink of an eye that we are there. And I pray tonight that if you're not living the life that God's called you to, investing in the things of eternity, I would challenge you tonight to step back, do an introspective look, not at what I say what God's word says, and literally weigh it against the scales of truth that just a short while ago, the rich man and Lazarus were weighed on. The rich man thought he had so much time. And what happened? It's that you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. And we lost three people in this church that were not expected even 3 months ago to have gone home to be with Jesus. You want to tell me that life is certain? Life is not certain. But I'll tell you what is. He is. And where we're going is. I hope you found it again in 2 Corinthians 5. We'll look at verses 1 through 5. And if you're able physically, I'll stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's word. For we know that if the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. Indeed, we groan in this body, desiring to put our dwelling from heaven on. Since when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Indeed, we will groan while we are in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed, so that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. Father, thank you tonight, God, again, for this time we have to open your word, to read your word, know that your word does not return void, but accomplishes what it was sent to accomplish. Father, have your way in this midst. Hide me behind the cross so that you alone will be the sole focus of everything that's said and done. Bring ones from darkness to light tonight, Father, through your Spirit's power, your presence in the work that only you can do. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry about my voice. I've gotten tired. I'm kind of tired. I've been tired. And when I get tired, my voice, I called a dear brother in Christ who's been struggling. I call him in the morning when he gets up. He texts me and I call him and I talk to him throughout the day. And then I call him before I go to bed last night. He goes, "You okay?" I said, "Brother, I'm tired." So my voice starts sounding like this when I get really tired. But to God be the glory. Amen. So again, verse 1. For we know that our if our temporary earthly dwelling is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. See, first thing I want to share with you tonight is this. Our mortal body will be destroyed and be replaced with an eternal, you can say one, but also a home. We will have an eternal home, and we are going to have an eternal body. So what does that mean when this mortal body is going to be destroyed and be replaced with an eternal one and an eternal home? What's going to happen to this? Listen, we are such a culture of gawkers. Amen? I don't care if you get strung out in the intersection and the rubberneckers come by and watch you flop around on the ground. The more you flop, the more you bleed, the more they look. Amen? Amen? Don't lie and act like you don't. I'll videotape you doing it. I can't believe how they do that. Now you go buy one. Yeah, I just caught you. But everybody says they don't do it. I've just got a gift to go and buy it at 90 and looking. They taught us that policing. And I know what you just said in your mind. Man, I would like to learn that one. Amen? Oh me is actually what you should have said. Our mortal body, though, is going to be destroyed one day, meaning that we are going to die. We don't like that word, do we? Somebody said to me recently, I don't like how much you talk about dying. They didn't like that I preached a lot about death. They didn't like that I talked about getting old. They actually said it to me. I said, I don't like it. I said, well, that's great. You know why? It's tough to live in reality, isn't it? The Bible says, teach us to number our days. So do you know what that tells us? You better be thinking about it. Because whether you or I like it, it's coming. I don't care how good your plastic surgeon is. I don't care how many hormone and HGH injections you get. Brothers and sisters, you are getting old. All of us are. Nobody's getting any younger. So why is that important? Well, because the dead reckoning, meaning we're going to be 10-7, we're going to die, we're going to breathe our last breath, we are going to be graveyard dead one day, all of us will be, and our body's going to lay down, whether it's going to happen through a nice heart attack, stroke, don't want a stroke, be nice to go to bed and just not wake up, amen? Lord, if you could do that, somebody asked a pastor, he's actually a pastor friend of mine at a huge church down in Alabama. Somebody came up to him and said, hey, would you pray that I had that I just died in my sleep one day? They did. He said, I will not. And they were kind of offended. He said, I pray that God's will be done in your life. See, I was in bed for 4 years. I required continual help with everything that I did. I've had I've had a little monologue with God. I said, listen, Lord, don't let me sit in a nursing home one day and fall apart. I really don't want to, because I know what it's like to be stuck for years relying on everyone. If God wants me to do that, I'm okay with that. I just got a few names, these ones. I won't say them publicly right here because we're online, that if somebody puts me in there, you better lock everything up. Amen? Or oh me. There's a number of places I don't want to go to, but I want God's will to be done. It's a nice thought that we can go to sleep one night. I have a higher likelihood of that with my AFib, my heart stuff. I have a really good, honestly, I probably got a better chance than just about anybody in here of going to bed one night and my heart stopping and me being able to just go on to glory. Those of you got good hearts, your odds aren't as good as mine. You got a good heart? Good. It pumps the blood clots faster through your body and gives you a nice stroke. But what's going to happen, though, one day is we're all going to wake up and our life will never be the same. Whether that is just like somebody earlier that shared with us. You have things that the doctor says you have the C word. We don't like that. We don't like to say it, right? But it's just a C word. Ooh, we don't want to say that word. I don't like to give enemy dominion. Amen. I'm not scared of a word called cancer because cancer has no dominion over God. None. I'm not scared to talk about death because death has no dominion apart from God's allowance. And you as a follower of Christ better not be scared of it. And if you are, we need to talk. Because there's no reason to fear. Because what? Our desire should be to depart. Not in a fatalistic sense, but to finish the work that God has for us and triumphantly and gloriously go home and stand in His presence. And by the way, do so with such honor that as you watch Stephen stone, what happened? Jesus stood at the right hand of God the Father to receive him. That's how I want to go home. How about you? How many times I've heard Christians say, well, I just hope I get in. I don't want to go in like that. I want to go in having lived a life where Jesus stands. Would you not? If you say no to that, you've got a problem. Meaning, you're not caring, you just care about getting in, and that's a deeper issue to speak to. I want to enter God's presence with obedience and not disobedience crowning me. I want to stand in the Lord's presence having honored what He's called and created me to do, not having dishonored the call of a disciple or a follower of Christ. I want to stand in God's presence having led brothers and sisters in saving faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, watching the Holy Spirit transform their hearts, knowing that God used me as a tool and that there are going to be men, women, boys, and girls that stand in God's presence one day because I was faithful to do what God called by yielding my wants, wills, and desires in His plan and purpose for my life. See, this mortal body is going to be destroyed. It's going to go. Doesn't matter if you go down to the cooker in town. If you know what that is, it's when you get cremated. They stick your little body right on there, and brothers and sisters, they throw it to you. And a short little bit of time later, you're reduced to a little of nothing. They can take that, and they can make diamonds out of it. Mine would have big flaws. Good, now you get it. They can take it, put you inside, they send you to the moon, now they got that. They can send you out there into space, you know that? They put you on rockets, now they shoot you into space. They do that now. I don't know if they tie them on to Elon Musk's or Orion, I don't know who they're putting them on, but they're shooting them out in space. They put them in those capsules, go out there and shoot them in space. You can do all kinds of, by the way, if you're one of those people that goes, listen, I'm gonna beat death. You know what cryogenics is? They stick you in, 300 degrees below zero, whatever it is. They freeze you solid. What a bunch of idiots. You go throw $500,000, whatever it is. Hey, it's for like 50 grand, they cut your head off and put it in something. It's the $100,000-plus one where they put your whole body in something. You know what I heard recently? They had a power outage. I wouldn't have much faith in those first few that were in there. I think they went through a little bit of defrost, frost cycles. They're probably not looking too hot about now. But you know what the desires of those people were, right? I'm hoping one day, man, they put something in me. We're going to get so advanced where they could just pop me. What are y'all into, man? I've been chilling a while. The problem was the body died. You know where there's a problem? Where's the problem lie? That's where we're at. If you buy into the lie that we're made nothing and nothing of us is only but the physical part, you've missed the boat. Because the part of us that endures is not the physical body. That mortal body is going down. And by the way, it's not coming back up until God resurrects it in whatever state and form He does, reunites the soul with the body, and we're going to be in the presence, and that is where we'll have a glorified body that will never die. No hurt, no pain, in the spiritual sense, we're going to be there. By the way, we'll just as alive as ever in the spiritual. When our spirit goes to heaven and death, we're just as alive as we were on earth. We're not going to go, man, I tell you what, I sure can't wait till my body gets here. You're not going to worry about that. I promise you won't. Verses 2 through 4, it says, indeed, we groan in this body. Amen. Desiring to put on our dwelling from heaven. Since when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Indeed, we groan while we are in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed. The second thing I want to share with you tonight is the pain of this life reminds us of our heavenly home. Laura Story, Blessings, great song. What if your blessings come through raindrops, right? What if 1,000 sleepless nights is what it takes to know you're here? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? By the way, I know that's the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. The momentary trials, the tribulations, the pain. I was talking with someone on the phone this week, and they've had trouble with their back. And they said, you know, what do you think about me praying that God would take my back pain away? And he said, you know, have you done that? And I said, no, sir. Well, why? Well, because God clearly allowed me to understand that my back pain is my 2 Corinthians chapter 12, my thorn. And I know that for a fact. And as a matter of fact, if you remember when they did that thing, I had been having a lot of trouble, and they have a snail venom. It's 100,000 times stronger than morphine. It's non-addictive. It's from a snail, a little conch snail in the bottom of the ocean. It's called Prealt. They've synthesized it, and they put this little thing. They ran this line into my spinal canal, and they did the trial. Y'all remember that was here, that was there at that time. And they did a trial on it, and when they put that stuff in there, man, I had no pain in my back at all. Before this, a couple years before, they'd asked me, I said, nope, God does not want me to do anything like that. I don't want nothing to do with it. Well, my pain had been getting worse, and I thought, you know, it'd be good, worth a try. Doctor talked about it. So I go out there, hey, they give me a shot of that. You know what, if they accidentally gave you too much, you ready for the number one side effect was? You hear gospel music. I said, well, praise Jesus. I mean, I'm on that one. You don't even have to have an iPod on. Just, you know, turn the juice up a little bit, man. I hear Larnell Harris, man. You know, the Gaithers. My thing is be some Conway Twitty songs or something would start playing. I'd have to tell them I'm out. Amen. Some of y'all are going, wait a minute, right? So it went so good that they were going to schedule putting the actual thing in. Well, they got done. They took out the little lead. Guess what happened? My dura doesn't shut up in my back because of the shots. Don't ever get those epidural steroid shots, church. Listen to me. You'll be sorry. It ruined my dura. So what did I have again? Another spinal leak. So what did I have to do? I had to go back in, have enough surgery to close that up. He said, we're going to go in instead of closing up. We'll just put that thing in there and that'll close it up. I said, no, sir, doctor. He said, well, why? I said, God doesn't. I said this. He's not a believer. I said, God doesn't want me to have one. I'm not going to let God kill me because you want to make $50,000. I told him that too. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, Ms. Joanne Brown gave me a ride to that appointment. That's what I told him. See, the pain of this life reminds us of our heavenly home. It does. When we are betrayed, when we're dragged down the road by those that profess their love for us, whether it's our parents growing up and the hurt and the heartache from those relationships of abuse or whatever it might be, we begin to, in a sense, have a choice to be despondent or to trust and rest and yield ourselves at the feet of the Lord, the Master, the Potter. And when we feel this momentary pain, we have this ability to do what so many do now. See, in these other states now, see, we can You can go to Colorado and you can go to a dispensary and they'll just give you a little something to just alter your reality and just to knock the edge off. And see, you can go up now to whatever it was out there in Idaho or wherever it is. Well, see, they've just done, you can do any of it. You can eat the mushrooms and you can do all this stuff. What does altering your reality do? It merely creates another mirage that does nothing but shield the true need, which is Christ. There is no fulfillment. There is no one that will ever do what I experienced on September 20th, 2004. I'll never forget it the rest of my life. I wish all of you had known me before, but actually, if you did, you probably wouldn't be here. But the only reason I say that is I would love you to know the man before me, to know how black and white my thinking is. I would not be here if I didn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God of creation was real, that Jesus Christ had saved me, and the redemptive work of Christ had fulfilled the longing that I had inside of me. I had no time to play games. I don't play games. Those of you who know me now know I don't play games. I don't have time for games. I will not sit here and blow sunshine up your skirt. That old statement of, hey, let's just pretend everything's great because we've got nothing better to do. You might not have nothing better to do, but I know I do. The reason I'm here is because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything that God's Word says from the very book of Genesis to the end of Revelation is God's spoken word, and it is all true. And when someone says to me, well, I know there's contradictions, I'll tell you the only contradictions in your mind and in your heart. Much knowledge has driven you mad. And you can continue to say, I just don't trust it, I don't understand it, I don't know it, I don't believe it. That's fine. You can sell yourself a delusion. Romans 1 will tell you exactly where your delusion will take you, as will Proverbs chapter 1. Romans 1, though they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They did not see it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not be done. They have been filled with every kind of evil, greed, depravity. They're slanderers, haters, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. Proverbs 1, wisdom calls out from the streets. When you turn, you didn't listen. I will laugh when calamity overtakes you like a storm. Whew. Honestly, I think those two books, those two chapters, Romans 1 and Proverbs 1, are two of the scariest chapters. I'm sorry, Matthew 7, let's just throw that in for like a salt and pepper. I think those are three of the scariest chapters in the Bible. I'm sorry, add Matthew 25 to that one. Four of the scariest chapters in the Bible. What about Revelation? Revelation don't scare me. Proverbs 1, Romans 1, Matthew 7, Matthew 25, scare the pants off of me. You know why? Cause and effect. By their fruit, you'll know them. Though you saw it, not worthwhile. They were given up. You ever hear? Man, I'll tell you what, I never thought I'd see anything like his. I thought I'd seen everything. Let me just share something. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You thought we were shocked in March when we stopped yet. Just hang on. You know what the old saying is? It's like a matinee. Huh? It's like a double feature. You ain't seen nothing yet. Brother Charles always says, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Why do I say that? I say that because you ain't seen nothing yet. What does God's word say? So the days of Noah, so will be at the coming of the Son of Man. The closer we get, the more we will be hated. The more we will be ostracized. The more it will cost us to serve Christ. You think it's no big? Friends, you just watch. It's not going to be long where you won't be able to go down an interstate without your COVID card. You don't want to get a vaccine? Keep thinking that. Oh, you're not going to have to do it. Keep thinking that. You won't go to work without one. I promise you, listen to what I'm telling you. Oh, he's lost his mind. No, you better get on board with understanding what I'm telling you. I had somebody text me who thought I was full of bunk. Text me a month ago, said, listen, I thought you were crazy. I sat in the pews and laughed with my spouse at you. How did you know what you knew? I'm telling you, you better listen to what I'm not saying this to be scary. I'm telling you to tell you that Christ is going to come back. It's a lot quicker than we probably think it is, but I don't care 50 years from now. That's quick, amen? I won't be alive then, but that's still quick. He may come back tomorrow. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to live like the world's going to be around another 1,000 years, because guess what? If not, what are our children's children going to do when no one's there to share hope if you and I haven't prepared like it could potentially be there? Because I know if we don't do it, then we've been disobedient. And if Jesus comes back tomorrow, I know that he knows my heart and my mind, and I do not want him to find me having lacked in the preparation, because it will be indicative of my heart's condition of apathy, indifference, and unconcern if I am not busy doing his work. The pain of this life reminds me that we have a heavenly home, and I hope it reminds you. I hope you long for that, not fatalistically, but you look to it in the glory that's going to be revealed when we close our eyes in death one day. And the beauty of our faith becoming sight. And in verse 4 and 5, indeed, we groan, are in this tent burdened as we are, because we don't want to be unclothed, but clothed, that mortality can be swallowed up by life. And the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. Third and final thing I want to share with you tonight is this. The potter formed us with a spirit that will live forever. See, that's what he entrusts in us, the Spirit of God. When we come to faith in Christ, it's a down payment. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit of God. We have been given a spirit, right, from him. But also as a follower of Christ, and Jessica and Tessie, right? Miss Sherry came to faith in Christ just a few weeks ago. Guess what? They were given the Spirit of God that came to indwell them. The Holy Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. That is the motor to their salvation. Go up there to the car dealership and buy a Shelby Cobra Mustang with no motor. Tell me how nice it looks, how good the leather smells, how amazing it's going to be to drive it. Jump in that, turn the key on. What's wrong with that? Must be a dead battery. Pop it open, open it up. You got to open it. Ain't nothing in there. Where am I going to go? Nowhere fast. That's what a follower of Christ who knows it in head but never let it come here, that's what you are. You're going nowhere fast. That's why when Jesus says, come follow me, you're sitting on the beach in a lawn chair with a bunch of iced tea and lemonade with a sign that says, I met Jesus. But you never followed him. Ask my daughter. Ask Tessie. Ask me. I knew him in head but not heart. I knew about him, but did not know him. And that's why it says, many will come on that day and say, did we not cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead? I will tell them plainly, depart from me, you cursed one, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. Thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. They will go away into everlasting fire, but the righteous to eternal life, what it says. Hell, heaven. Head knowledge is hell. Transforming work of God comes to the heart. Why is the difference so profound? Because the Spirit within us lives inside of us. The Spirit that lives on must have a regenerative work of Christ, having the knowledge transforming the heart. The transaction, the salvation message is not one of knowledge, it's one of power. It's one that a transaction must occur. The transaction is not one merely that one believes they don't want to spend their eternity in hell, and therefore we pray a prayer because we don't want to go to a place we know is hell. That is not a reason to get saved. The reason you get saved is you recognize your broken state, your sinful state, and in that sinful state you are separated from God, and the brokenness of your sin breaks your heart. And the Spirit of God allows you to understand how much Jesus loved you. He is reached down in the prison cell with a hand reached down. And when God helps us understand our sinful state, it's like a light emanating in that prison cell. God opens the door and we can say, oh, wow, I met Jesus, and stay right there and die in our sin. It is when we recognize our broken state, recognize that there's no way out of that prison, no way out of the tar that we are in sinfully, that we're able to reach up with an overt act of our will in the profession, the confessing of our sin, the accepting of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, reaching up for his hand, that then he pulls us out of a place we could never get out, sets us on a firm foundation in Christ, washes us. And by the way, even in salvation, it is the works that what he has prepared for us in advance. We are only merely living out because the only life that we have is in him. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. People say, what makes you do what you do? I'm merely living out the work that God prepared for me in advance. That's why I say I can't take credit for the work of God, because it's his work. The only thing I'm doing is yielding my life, my members, my body to his hands. Honestly, in the sense, it's like a marionette. Sadly, he gives me free agency, and even the sin nature at times. I battle just as hard as you do, or if not more. I recognize the brokenness of myself, my feet of clay. Amen? The older I get, the more aware I am. And man, the greater the magnification of God's mercy, his grace, in my need for him, that becomes more apparent every day. Choose you this day whom you will serve, because my house will serve the Lord. The potter formed us with a spirit to live forever, brothers and sisters in Christ. My question to you today is, are you going to see Martha Fritz again? Are you going to see her again? Any of the messages that, as someone's asked me to preach at funerals, I always say this. You take one good look at this person, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've not had a regenerative work of the Spirit of God in your heart occur, because if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you make sure you get a very good look at them, because you will never see them again. And I'm telling you, that's true. Not my word, not what I think, not my interpretation, it's God's word. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Do you realize two lost people won't see each other either? You know this? See, I know we hear a lot from AC/DC and all of these rock groups, right? They're going to go to hell together so they can party. Everybody's heard this, right? Anybody? Okay, I was going to say, I don't know where the rest of you were. They were shouting that stuff when I was young. Do you know why I know for a fact they won't see each other again? Hell is a place of outer darkness. It's a place of isolation. Not camaraderie. there ain't gonna be no partying in hell. It is a place of isolation, it's a place of torment, and it's a place that God's word says he desires us not to go. Tonight, hell is enlarging itself. The Bible says that it was not created for human inhabitation. Do you know this? It was created for the devil and his angels. That is why hell's enlarging itself. It was not meant for mankind to dwell there. But I do know what God's word says. His desire is that none should perish. Don't think because you're a pastor's daughter. Don't think because you're a pastor's son like I was that got saved 100 times. I was as lost when I truly came to genuine saving faith in Jesus Christ as any lost person could ever be, but had every bit of knowledge, could quote chapters of the Bible in my lost state. I'm telling you, I know this because it was me. I could talk to you about spiritual things. I didn't want to, but I could talk to you about spiritual things, and I could actually keep up with the best of them. But I was so lost, I didn't know my left foot from my right. There's a great danger to what Billy Graham says, that you get inoculated with Christianity. You get just enough of it never to get the real thing. God forbid anybody in this building, and I don't care what your background is, don't you dare talk yourself into hell. What do I say? What do I mean in saying that? You know what you're battling in your heart of hearts, and I don't care what you think anybody else will think. If things aren't right in your heart tonight, I want to tell you what, if you leave here tonight and you're in absolute agony in your spirit and would say, I do not know, honestly, if I'm honest with myself, I don't know what would happen if I left here tonight, I will tell you biblically what you are. If you walk out that door, you're a fool. The Bible says it word for word. Why? Because the Bible says that it is appointed a man once to die and then to stand judgment. How do you know tonight that you're not going to breathe your last breath and walk off into eternity to hear my words and the words of pastors all through your lifetime that were beckoning you to come to faith in Jesus Christ, knowing you were a sinner, the Spirit was working on you, and you just said, well, I think it's my indigestion tonight. Having pushed away the loving, calling voice of the Spirit that was dwelling in your heart and hearts, desiring you, bringing you to spiritual life, for you only to say, I'll deal with it next week. I don't know. I just don't. I remember that time I walked down the aisle 46 and a half years ago, 3 months ago. I don't care what it was. Salvation's not about a set of words. Listen to me. You know what it's about? It's about the heart's condition. If the heart's condition isn't right, the words can never be genuine. Amen? That's like me or you. You get caught doing something. You come up to the person and go, man, I'm so sorry. I was just dumb. Are you sorry you got caught? Or are you genuinely repentant? That is when you work to restore fellowship because you love. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Worldly sorrow leads to death. What is worldly sorrow? Man, I don't want to go to hell. Man, I don't want to go to hell. Man, I'm not in for that stuff. I don't want to go there. Worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow is what happens when you recognize you're a sinner. You recognize the vast chasm like I did. I'll never forget it. Between me and God. And in that moment, I wanted nothing more in the fellowship with the Father. It didn't even have anything to do with hell. And what was so wild, because every other time it had been about hell, scared of that. The time that a regenerative work of Christ happened was when I knew the brokenness of my sin, and I wanted to be restored and forgiven. And my prayer was a prayer of restoration. Through my repentance, the Spirit of God, that day, began a transformative work that continues even right now. I hope you know that tonight. The greatest thing that you could do to honor the life and legacy of Miss Martha would be to without hesitation, if there's an issue with your attorney tonight, whether you're watching online or somebody in this building, don't leave this building tonight without knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords, because if not, he will be your judge. Because either you are dressed in a robe of his righteousness, or you stand there with the weight of your sin and the righteousness of Christ is what we're judged against. And the only thing that can happen then is we bear the full weight of our sin. And that is to be separated from God in a place we always call hell, but see, it's an absence and a separation from every good and perfect thing. Why? For what? This minuscule life is fleeting vapor. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let's pray. Father, thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.